Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next intensive, coming up November 4th through the 6th. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit us online at gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad that you've decided to join us here today. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with my friend Stephen. Stephen, how are you doing?
Very blessed. Thank you, sir.
Good. Well, we are going to continue on with this topic that we were talking about last week. We actually had been several weeks ago that we had done a broadcast on why men quit working on purity. And then, you know, Stephen decided there were maybe a few things that we need to go into a little bit more detail in terms of what are some of these obstacles and talk a little bit more in depth about them. So we started talking about that a little bit more last week. And so then this week we want to continue on because we just had too much information to cover just in one broadcast. So, Stephen, why don't you kind of give a little bit of a recap of what we talked about last week, and then we'll just continue on sort of with where we left off.
Well, I was thinking maybe I'll just tell them the excuses we use when we want to quit. It's too hard. I'm tired. I don't care. I don't want to. So it's just a short program. That's why men quit.
Okay, there we go.
Thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes the program. Why men quit. It's hard work.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the next program? Oh, no, wait a minute here. Let me go back to what I was supposed to say here. Jonathan's stumped. I'm supposed to say that we're doing part three in Why Men Quit. We're digging deeper than we did before. We're hoping that this conversation will spawn some additional conversation between you and spouse or you and other men. We know that our radio programs are used and multiplied by others, and we don't take credit for this material. Men teach us and we teach you. And so it's God's best work of men training men and educating women and growing in His will, His way, hit the kingdom way by design of the Father instead of the little cheap imitation programs we've put together on how we think we're supposed to live based on pleasure, fun, and immediate satisfaction. So, why do men quit? We had talked about guys coming to group before. They come in enthusiastic, and by second or third visit, they're gone. Some guys come one time, never see them again. Some two or three, boom, they're gone. And this happens over and over. And you get some guys that stick and work, and they're in group a year later, and man, they are not the same men. They have changed. But you have these guys that come in, and they really want to start well, but they don't finish very strong. So we're talking about the pieces of it. You have to work on spiritual growth. I don't care what your struggle is. Mm-hmm. You got a spending problem? Spiritual growth. You got an eating problem? Spiritual growth. You got a drinking problem? Spiritual growth. You got a worry problem? Spiritual growth. It's the same solution. Submit the will, bow your head to the Father, get the flesh to cooperate. But we're breaking it down into parts.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, we were talking last week about how some guys, they make this disconnect because they really do believe it's purely a behavioral thing. Listen, I'm looking at porn, and obviously it's creating all these problems in my life. Then if I just stop looking at porn, magically I will be this whole wonderful, great individual. I'll have these great relationships, and without looking at all at what kind of spiritual growth needs to go on. And, you know, some guys even balk at the idea that we're telling them, no, your spiritual growth is completely connected to how you behave and how you think. And so that's a huge component, but it can also be one of those obstacles of one of the reasons why guys quit. They have a narrow-minded program that says it's only about this behavior that I'm engaging in. And we're saying, no, it's a much broader scope of what it's going to take in order to actually get free from that.
So we went into the concept last time of learning to be a student of yourself, which means own your weaknesses, say them, write them, journal them, pray about them, but stop avoiding the fact that you have weaknesses and those weaknesses are hindering you and your relationship. Become a student of yourself. Huge step, great insight, shared by one brother to be spoken to many brothers. Stop ignoring your weaknesses. They're tripping you and everybody else in your relationships. They're tripping us up, all of us.
Now, I have kind of a question for the counselor here. So, like, in terms of that, I mean, I love the phrasing of that, you know, to be a student of yourself. But as I'm sitting here thinking, what do you think that looks like in sort of a practical sense in terms of how can a person who has gotten sort of, you know, they've gotten very skewed in their thinking, how can they begin to effectively sort of learn about themselves? Because wouldn't you think that'd be a difficult process for somebody who really has, you know, some delusional thinking about sex and relationships and God and all these other things? How then can they maybe be more effective in learning about themselves?
Well, and I think the first step is people have told you all your life your weaknesses, right? I mean, you're lazy, you don't try, you're not consistent, why do you take the easy way out, why don't you work harder, why don't you, you know, why'd you quit school, why don't you read a book, why do you keep doing these adolescent behaviors and just watch TV all day and night or play games for 8 and 10 hours a day? People will have told you all your life weak areas, we just haven't wanted to listen. And there's a bumper sticker that says, all men have weaknesses. Married men just learn about them sooner. And so when you get married, your wife's going to be there to say, well, you know, you haven't balanced the checkbook or paid the bills. And do I have to wash all the dishes myself? Or do you do your half? Can you get your underwear over to the, do you have to drop them by the bed? I mean, you know, let's work on some issues here. So I think
part of it may be kind of evaluating what is, in some ways, what has been told to you or what your weaknesses are? Or?
They've all been pointed out, I think. I don't think there are weaknesses that it's like nobody sees our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Every friend you've been with knows you're selfish and you don't bring money every time we get together and you expect him to pay. I mean, they know that, you know. You don't have a job because you don't want to work. And so people know these things about you, but we don't want to know them and we don't want to be told about them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yes, we have a glaring weakness over sexual struggles. That's obvious. But we also have immaturity and undiscipline and inconsistency and poor follow-through underneath that from a developmental, emotional perspective. And that's what we're talking about, because as long as we're emotionally weak, then we need to escape life to be okay. Because what do you think you hear from people? Get a job, go to work, you know, save your money, pay your bills. I mean, those are all weaknesses.
And that makes sense then why individual growth can be an obstacle to a guy wanting to keep working on purity, because if he's going to be a student of himself, he's going to actually have to honestly face each one of those weaknesses and, mm-hmm. and determine whether or not he's going to do something about them.
That's right. Even if I don't like myself, remember what we found in marriage work is that weak marriages are weak because one of the partner has low self-value and they don't think highly of themselves and they struggle with it and they bring it in. And it's like the other spouse tries to inflate them up and then they deflate and try to build them up. It's like, wait a minute, we are all supposed to be working on our weak areas. We're supposed to be becoming transformed, right? Christ-like. Leave behind the old, walk in the new man, right? Submit, all those words, transformation, all those words are about change and growth. And so one, we have to work on ourselves. And then two, as we go on with this discussion, we have to have the correct view of our spouse. Because sometimes we want them to be the responsible one, the mature one, the over-sexualized one, the always happy one, the never complaining one. But they're just regular people too. So one, I'm not in control of my wife's life. And if she's not happy, she and God have to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not in charge of making my wife happy. You know? So one, I got to work on me, and I got to set a nice boundary between me and her. If she found happiness, she brought happiness in, or she's not happy. And then, of course, she can blame me for my weaknesses. But I have to separate. I'm not responsible for her moods, for the way she thinks, the way she struggles. And sometimes guys will put that on themselves. So I don't know if that makes sense to you.
And, well, it sounds to me like there's, you know, for those of our listeners who are married, then it becomes, there is this component in our individual growth that says, I need to be a student of myself. But if you're married, you also need to be a student of your spouse.
Right, but first, I need to be a student of me, and she needs to be a student of her.
Gotcha.
And she needs to be working on her weaknesses before the Father.
And that there's a healthy boundary between those two, meaning when she needs to be a student of herself and working on her weaknesses, that I then don't need to be the bearer of any shame or in essence, kind of responsibility for... I don't want to put it that way, because we are to encourage one another and love one another, that kind of thing. But you know what I'm saying? It's like we don't have to bear the shame from wherever she's feeling weak and unwilling to work on her weaknesses.
Right. We don't have to feel bad. If she doesn't work on herself, then she and God have to talk about it. But you're right. Our role would be to encourage and to offer comfort and support, because we're humanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all like beaten, roughed up all the time. And we get married because we want comfort from one another. We can always do that. But sometimes we get confused and think they want to blame us and say all the problems are you, when, come on, we're not God. We're not that good. Some of the problems are us, but some of the problem are you too. So he has to have the view that he's going to work on him and she's going to work on her, and together grow as God is working on both of them. Because it takes the pressure off him being the only problem. There's just one problem. No, that's not true. There is a sexual problem, but then there's a bunch of other problems. And that's why we're talking, why do men quit? Because we're not growing in those other areas that need work.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're not even seeing that they're connected, right? I mean, because when you're talking about some of this individual growth, when you're learning to be a student of yourself, at least one thing I learned when I started becoming a student of myself was I realized, you know what, this sexual addiction in my life was affecting every area of my life, but it was not the only area of my life that needed to be transformed.
Yes, thank you.
It
You're
was
saying
much
it well.
Bigger than
yes,
that. You
yes.
know?
It's it like a pie. It's a big slice of the pie, but it's not the whole pie.
And it was through recovery and starting to get honest about that area that I then realized all these other areas of my life in terms of how irresponsible I was with money and how selfish I was with my time and, you know, all these other kind of things that certainly helped to feed the addiction, but it wasn't all about that. And it was like my individual growth that needed to happen was much more of kind of a holistic entire person growth, mm-hmm. rather than, hey, let me just get the sexual area, you know, tidied up, yeah.
Distraction, escape, instead of doing all the work, right? Mm-hmm. Because, and so we're talking about, why do people quit? Because we and the answer is because there's a lot of work to be done.
Lots.
Right? Yeah. We got to work on purity, which is an ongoing challenge, and we got to work on emotional development, spiritual development, relationship, intimacy. We got to do a lot of work. And it's easier to go, well, it's not that bad, and my wife threw a fit a couple of days, and she shut up about it, and I think I'll just won't tell her, and I'll just go be quiet and go underground again, and I'm not hurting anybody, am I? You know, and boom, you're back to your old thinking. So that's from an individual perspective. Then we have to shift it over to the marriage, right? Because one, I got to work on me and come up with a good view of I got to do my work. And it almost sounds a little bit selfish when you say I've got to do my work. But she's over there hurting and in pain. But the reality is if he stops doing his work, and sometimes couples will come in, let's do marriage work. Well, wait a minute. He's not sane enough yet. He's not safe. He isn't insightful enough. Hold the marital work, please, until whoever has the addiction is working on it, taking ownership, gaining insight, the light's coming on. Hold on the marriage. But he still has to go home to a marriage and probably an angry wife who's hurt and mad, and sometimes she accuses you, and sometimes she forgives you, and then a memory comes up, and then she thrashes around, and she's mad and moody, and then it passes, and you got to stay through these storms of relationship and wife. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts?
Amen. Well, and I think that's, to me, that's obvious. I mean, talking about that, it becomes very obvious to see also another obstacle to why men... You know, one of the other reasons why men quit working on purity. Everything you're saying there, I'm sure we got guys in the audience right now listening that they're just getting stressed out hearing what you're saying about all of this, you know, all of the realities.
The new guys that have joined the group, their head is down and they're banging it on the table going, what did I sign up for here?
You know? Because there are all the realities of that relational chaos, because now what has been in the dark is now exposed, and it's like a bomb going off in your marriage. And so now there's all of this fallout and all this repair that needs to be done. And usually what happens is that's why a wife, generally speaking, wants to just jump to marriage stuff. Let's get this patched back up, because I see all this fallout, all this destruction, and I can't handle that. The husband's looking at it like, yeah, let's just get this all cleaned up because I can't handle it either. Without them both looking at their individual responsibilities in healing and growth. And I like what you said about whoever the addicted individual is, really has to get to first a place of sanity and some sort of momentum in purity before they can really start even thinking about the relational components, because it's just too overwhelming at first. I mean, if you had a person with all of this right up front without sort of kind of walking them through it, I can totally see it's a natural response for them to want to go back to their coping mechanisms.
So the marriage is the relationship we have, and it's held together by two people, and what happens when a wife comes in and she thought she married her dream come true guy, and then she realizes she's married to an addicted guy. Wow, now she has to shift her head around and write a whole new script for how to, I was going to live with my dream come true guy, and we were going to live happily ever after, till I realized half of him is tied up somewhere else, and that's why he can't be here fully, and we can't get our dreams to come true. He's absorbed in something else that's zapping his energy, his thoughts, his time, his money, his desire and passion, and that's why I only have half a dream guy, because I have half of an addicted guy. Mm-hmm. And half a dream guy. He does come home. He sleeps here. Pays bills here. He gets credit for that. He's not, you know what I mean? He's home security guard at night when there's a noise. He has value and worth, but he's got this bad habit that's turned into an addiction. So then, where do I go from there? I have to rewire my thought process to going, okay, he's still God's creation. He's a man, and so she has to go through this process where she goes, I guess I have a regular guy. Because he has strengths and weaknesses, and I can't lean on him totally. I lean on God totally, and he's growing. He's coming along, and we can get to dream life if he doesn't quit, and if I don't quit.
Well, you know, you mentioned in the last broadcast, one of the things that you will challenge a guy on in his recovery about saying, is it okay for you to just be a regular guy? And, you know, sometimes that's a challenge for a guy to get to that place to say, okay, I don't have to be a superhero. I don't have to always have this hero mentality if I've got to save the day. And, but you know what? I think that's also a fair question to ask a wife. Meaning, is it okay for your husband to be a regular broken guy?
Yeah.
Because I think many, many wives, my wife included, had the happy ever after, knight in shining armor image of what her husband should be. And I don't want to make our listeners think that we should just, you know, that we should just crush all thoughts of having any dreams or any hopes or no. But the idea is some of our dreams have an irrational aspect to them. And irrationality just simply means we're not engaging reality. You know, it's not actually connected to reality. And I think that's what can happen with a wife who's saying, I have this image of what my husband should be. And you know what? To put it bluntly, that's no different than the fantasies that your husband is thinking about. Both of them don't exist in reality.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because if you have this image over here of ideal, your husband perfect. Being perfect,
yeah.
You know what? That's the same stupid ideas that he has about, you know, him fantasizing about a perfect woman. And so you have to kind of bring things back down to reality and say, are we both willing to be with a broken person that's striving to be better, that is regular, you know?
Yes.
And that can be an obstacle because sometimes we get so locked into our fantasy roles, even in a marriage, that we have this fantasy image that we project to other people as a couple, that can be hard to get real about on both sides of the equation.
And then don't they both have to write a new script, right? Because she didn't get the ideal. She got a regular guy, some damage in the program. And so now she says, okay, how do I live with a regular guy? But he also has to write a script going, if I don't get what I want, I'll go pursue fantasy and that'll make me happy. No, sorry, you have to work with your real wife and develop a real relationship with a real woman, not some fantasy. And so we have to shift our scripts to orient towards each other and starting with what God gives us, acceptance, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and those things. Mm-hmm. So a wife will say hard things like, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for him, and he doesn't talk to me, he doesn't engage me, he's not interested except sexually. She says, 90% of the time, I'm the one that talks, and he doesn't even initiate conversation. Why doesn't he care? Why won't he talk to me? So let's just clarify, a wife is never to blame for her husband's behavior. Mm-hmm. We're responsible for our own behavior. She's responsible for her behavior, and he's responsible. And she didn't make him do anything. Sometimes guys will say that. Well, you know what she did, and what do you? I'm a man, you know, and it's like, she made me. I had to. I didn't have any other choice. It's like, you don't die if you don't have orgasms, okay? Get over it. No, we haven't read any headline. Man dies, no orgasms. So, of course, he had to, you know, he had to be stupid or he was going to die. No, nobody dies because even laser... Isn't it laser that says sex is not a need?
Right.
Food, water, air, clothing, shelter, that's need. Sex is luxury and comfort and pleasure and procreation. So guys will go, no, it's a need, it's a need. And sorry, you don't die if you don't get your jollies. So one, every male is responsible for his own behavior, and blaming a wife is just using the addictive thought process again. It's not healthy thinking. But the truth is, a wife influences a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to look at those influencing factors that she has. Because wives come in themselves having been victim of some abuse in childhood. Lots of women have been, you know, mistreated or sexually abused and those kind of things. Or neglected, just left alone and ignored. Or, you know, emotionally broken, beaten down, and told terrible things. And so she has a struggle, and you are going to be the white knight and save her from that struggle. But regular guys, you know, can be good guys and work hard and try, but there's only one savior here, right?
Well, you know, I'm seeing as you're saying this, and as we've been talking about individuals, and we're talking about marriages here, I see this. You're talking about the new scripts that have to be written. And what I'm seeing is there's a major paradigm shift that has to happen in both the husband and the wife. And that is they have to go from scripts that really had them as the center of attention.
That's good.
Because a wife is saying, I need this perfect husband because then I can be happy if my husband is perfect. And the husband's saying, I need this perfect wife because then I can be happy because I've got this perfect wife. And the scripts have to change to saying, you know what, am I willing, first of all, to see and acknowledge and embrace the brokenness in my spouse and then actually learn how to serve them better in their weaknesses?
Hmm.
In other words, you're talking about here a wife who's, you know, she's got abuse in her past, or she's been neglected, or she's got her own brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what is a husband's role? Because a lot of times what ends up happening is because of her past, a selfish husband then fires off a lot of this pain in her life. She was
by taking and using.
Think, for example, just the idea of a wife who's been neglected in her past.
Right.
A lot of her brokenness is born out of her neglect.
Oh.
What does a husband's addiction do? It isolates him and disconnects him from her. She's going to feel neglected, and so it's going to fire off of her her pain again. And so the shift that needs to take place is when a husband begins to really study his wife and learn, you know, she's broken in this area. She has a lot of pain from neglect. Then what's his role? His role is to become selfless and learn how to serve her in her feeling wanted, and she is not neglected, and he is cherishing her.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So it's
absolutely.
Major shifts that have to take place
here. And you just hit it. This is what happens in marriage all the time. His behavior fires off her issue or steps on her issue, right? Because if he's distracted and investing elsewhere, she feels neglected, which is how she was raised, right? Or if he has an anger problem, he raises his voice, and she came from an angry home where there was no peace.
Her pain rises up again.
Exactly. Yeah. That old stuff encoded in her system just comes up again. If he talks down to her and tells her terrible things, well, that's what she heard in her past. She wasn't worth very much. And so here she is again, thought this was the solution, only to find it's the same problem again. Mm-hmm. But what the problem is, her stuff is coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we were asked to do was give clear solutions. This material was spoken to us and challenging to us in terms of spread the word about this, but give clear solutions on what should be done. What should a guy do? So number one, stop fighting the change process. You're going to go into confusion and pain and say, thank you, God, for the confusion. Thank you that sometimes I feel lost. You're not lost. I just feel lost. Truth is still truth. I feel discomfort. So if you're going through change and discomfort, good. You're going to get through it. Stay the course.
I tell guys all the time, some guys will come to me and they just feel like their lives have blown up, and they'll be telling me kind of what's been going on. And they'll be amazed when I tell them, you know what, you're right where you need to be, because they think, no, this should be smooth. This should be going well. And the problem is that most don't recognize that part of the process of change is extreme chaos. There is confusion. There is feeling lost, and so you just have to press through that and not fight that process.
Yes. So work on listening and stop resisting. Stop arguing. When you find yourself arguing, defending, attacking, stop. Just say stop, so that you can listen better. And then recognize you have to learn new ways and take small steps, and don't let the confusion drive you off.
Mm-hmm. And I want to just close by what I had talked about last week, sort of being the goal of where we're trying to go with this. Because sometimes when you have a vision that you're pointing toward and you're moving toward, you can gain a lot more momentum than just trying to run away from what you've been doing that hasn't been working. And what we're trying to move people toward is growth in community. We were designed for relationships. So whether you're married or not, you're still designed to function best when you are connected in relationships. The addiction will always isolate you from that. And so as you're working through these challenges, as you're coming up against these things that try to invite you back into the dark and back into your old coping mechanisms, just be reminded, you're working towards something. You're working towards learning how to grow in relationship with your friends, with accountability partners, with your wife, with your children. You're learning to grow in that context, not isolated and disconnected and alone. Folks, if you want more help in this journey, that's what we're here for. We want you to contact us so that we can get you plugged in with some counselors and some groups and just start to work on growing in community. You can do that by going to our website at puresexradio.com, and our contact information is going to be coming up in just a few minutes. We're glad you've been with us, and we'll see you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
You've been listening to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Learn more about our show at puresexradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Our mailing address is coming up. Get your pens ready. You can also contact us by phone at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-49-PURITY. Our mailing address for your notes and donations is Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 401, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.